Welcome to Reiki Cafe Radio. We're your hosts, Christine Renee
and Izzy Wells. We come together with more than 25 years of experience in Reiki, meditation, chakra wisdom, clairvoyant techniques, and holistic healing. We are passionate about helping individuals release resistance, step into their authentic selves, and align their lives with the truth of who they are.
Reiki Cafe Radio is your choice for vibrant Reiki conversations, meditation experiences, and holistic wellness. This is your space for a deeper look into the ancient wisdom through modern eyes. So grab your tea or coffee and join us as we sip our way through this week's episode.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to another amazing coffee conversation. Today, we're going to be diving into a shamanic perspective on the inner child. And I think that this topic is so incredibly important because no matter where we're at in our healing journey, it is so vital and crucial to have a working relationship with our inner child. And this is, you know, I love a good definition to start off a conversation. And so I think starting with this idea of what does it really mean to work with your inner child? Why is it important to have this working relationship with your inner child? And part of it is because our inner child does not exist just when it needs to be healed. And I think that this is a misconception that a lot of us have, is we tend to hear the concept of working with our inner child, healing our inner child. And so there's this idea that once we heal our inner child, well, they're good. They're done. They've been healed, they've had their time, and now we can move on. But the fact of it is that we always have an inner child. There is that childlike energy within us at all times, no matter where we're at in our healing journey, that we can cultivate and we can work with. And our inner child has so much wisdom for us, because what our inner child really represents is it represents us before we had the wounding, before we started to kind of fill in the mold of what we thought we should look like, act like, sound like, speak like, etc. We are given these expectations when we're younger about who we should be when we grow up, right? And what's acceptable for us to be in society, in our family, in whatever it is. And our inner child has the capacity to be a reminder of what life was like before that, of who we were before all of those programmings came in. And so this is vital to our healing journey, because not only can our inner child serve as this kind of energetic archetype of freedom and play and joy and passion and all of that lust for life that so many of us are searching for, right? I think so many of us wake up in the morning and we're like, is this really all there is? Is this it? Am I stuck here? Is this all there is to life? Is this as good as it gets, right? To quote that movie. And I think that's a really common feeling. It's this desire, this urge to have that lust for life back. Because at some point in our childhood, no matter how long or how short of a time we had this feeling, at some point in our childhood, each and every one of us experienced that moment of profound joy at the fact that we were alive. Not because of anything, not in spite of anything, but just because we were alive. We were here. We were living. We had hands. We could breathe. There was a ball that made a fun noise, whatever it was. Maybe it was a butterfly that landed on your head. It doesn't matter. We've all experienced at some point in our childhood that lust, that joy, that rapture of being alive, as it is called in some shamanic traditions. And so this idea of that rapture of being alive, so many of us lose it as we move into adulthood. We lose the magic, we lose the connection, we lose the joy, we lose the passion, and we start to feel stranded a little bit in ourselves. And I think a lot of us can relate to that feeling. And our inner child is really the key to stepping out of that feeling of isolation, to stepping out of that feeling of being disconnected, of being numb, of being almost like life is colorless. And so our inner child is this really beautiful archetype of an energy. And it we can interact with it in two ways, right? We do have that healing relationship with our inner child where we're going in and we're doing that deep work and we're facing those old traumas and those old wounds. We're facing the harsh things that our parents said to us that we then took on as truth. We're facing the moments of abuse or trauma that we experienced when we were younger. We're facing the expectations that were put on us as we started to grow into our lives, right? We're looking at all of that and we're dealing with it and we're processing it in a safe and compassionate way. But there's also this idea of developing a relationship with your inner child. And this is really where that shamanic perspective starts to come into play, because it doesn't just stop at healing. We're not going to look at our, you know, childhood trauma, face it, work through it, and be like, okay, I'm done. I'm never going to interact with my inner child again. We're going to bring that spirit forward with us into our daily lives. And we're going to think about, how can I cultivate that energy of fun and play? How can I cultivate that passion for being alive? How can I step into that joy, that lust for life that younger me knows what it's like to experience? How can I use him or her or them as a way of stepping into the life that I want to have now as an adult? And so inner child healing is really a range of experiences and a range of techniques. And it's a really beautiful experience because it doesn't have to be difficult. Inner child healing can be incredibly simple, and it can be as simple as really just sitting. And this is a great opportunity to grab your journal, grab a piece of paper, and just kind of journal your way through this conversation with me today. But this is a great time to start thinking, when is the last time that you did something that you loved to do as a child, right? Something incredibly silly. Maybe it was playing with Barbies. Maybe it was an easy bake oven. Maybe it was finger painting. Maybe it was planting or playing in the garden. My little sister loves to find worms. She has an obsession with worms, and I hope she keeps that for her entire life. I hope she is always connected with the bugs and the creatures of the earth, because it's such a beautiful thing. But really thinking about, what are the things that you loved to do as a child, and how long has it been since you've done something like that? Right? We might not all be able to go out to a thrift store and find an easy bake oven, but we can all make some muffins today, if that's what our inner child needs. We can all pull out a piece of paper and let ourselves finger paint for a little bit. We can go take a pottery class. We can make a scrapbook. We can go outside and find a four-leaf clover, right? There are these little moments of magic. And I think that that's really what a lot of inner child healing comes down to, is part of the reason that our inner child needs to be healed in the first place is because there was a time or an experience that led us to feel unsafe in our reality, that led us to feel like we were not enough, that we were too loud, too quiet, too much. We talked too much. We'd had the wrong opinions. We did the wrong thing. We were worthless. We weren't lovable. We weren't valuable. We weren't whatever it is, right? We were taught at some point in our lives that something was wrong with us. And so our inner child now needs to be healed, because at some point it was taught that it was broken. And so part of inner child healing is doing the work to create a safe space for you, the inner child of you, to come forward and to exist in the totality of who they are, without being judged, without being shamed, without being scared away, right? And so this is when we can take a step back, and it's 11:11 my time as I'm saying this, we can take a step back and we can look at, how can we reparent ourselves, right? This is a term that's really popular right now in the psychology field, is this idea of reparenting ourselves. And this is a really beautiful aspect of inner child healing, but it's this idea of going back and looking at your childhood, looking at how you were raised, looking at how you interacted with your peers, looking at whatever it is, really going back and asking yourself, if I could do it differently, what would I have done differently? How would I have raised myself differently? What beliefs would I have instilled in myself that were different than the ones that I received from my family, from my peers? And then we can look at, okay, we have these ideas. We know what we loved to do as a child. We know what beliefs we would change if we could. Can we step back into that? Can we go back to that and recognize that in every single moment, we have the opportunity to redo those patterns, to redo those beliefs, to redo our training that we received as a child, right? And so inner child healing really just goes back to, where were those moments that you felt unsafe? Where were those moments where you were taught that you were wrong? Where were those moments that you were taught that you were too much, that you weren't lovable, that you weren't enough? And can you go back and redo those? Can you train yourself to understand that that was just somebody else's opinion that got put on you? And because you were young, because you were a child, you took it on as fact, right? And this is where we get limiting beliefs from. Things like, I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable, I'm not enough. These beliefs that so many of us have that we carry forward. These were things that were someone else's opinion that we took on as fact, because everything from the time we're born to the time we're 8 to 10 years old goes straight into our subconscious mind. It goes straight into our conscious framework for how the world works, which means that that teacher telling us that our art wasn't good enough, that parent telling us, can we please just be quiet for just a second? Whatever it was, that gets put into our framework of our role in the world, of our place in the world. Oh, I should be quiet for a second. That means I was too loud. Oh, my artwork wasn't good enough. That means I'm not good at being creative. I'm not imaginative. I'm not an artist. I'm bad at art. These little tiny moments become an entire framework for who we are and how we fit into the world. And so when we start to engage with our daily life and we start to notice, oh, you know what? I was just in a situation that was really triggering, or this was a really difficult day for me and I don't know why, or life just feels boring, or I'm not excited to be awake today. I'm not excited to be alive today, and I want to be. All of these feelings are our inner child crying out for us, saying, hey, something is wrong. Some wire is disconnected, and you have the power to reconnect it. You have the power to come in and reassess and reconnect and tune back into what is true, and to root out all of those frameworks, all of those structures that got put in that are no longer true, right? And so this is where inner child healing comes in, right? Is looking at, how are you getting triggered? What are your triggers in your daily life? What are the situations where you get irrationally angry for no reason, or your anxiety pops up, right? Maybe you're not feeling safe. Maybe you are feeling really, really insecure in your relationship with your partner and you're worried that they're going to leave you. Maybe you are struggling with feeling financially secure in your job. All of these experiences are things that root back to our inner child, that root back to the experiences that we had as a child that taught us these are the places that life is scary. These are the ways that life is going to be hard for you. These are the ways that you are going to mess up. So we need to watch for them, right? And this is where we can start to look at those connections, right? So let's go back to that example of being insecure in a relationship with your partner. You're always worried that they're going to leave you, that you're not going to be good enough, that you have to do things to make them stay. That root, that issue is not anything to do with your partner. It's the fact that at the root of that, you believe that you are not enough for someone to stay for. You're not enough for your partner to love you for who you are. Same thing if we look at feeling financially insecure in your job, even if maybe you do have enough money, but you feel financially insecure. That's going to go back to that thread of, I'm not safe. I need to have wealth. I need to have abundance in order to be safe because I am not safe at my core, right? All of these experiences tie back to this core limiting belief. And there's this fabulous psychological researcher, Gabor Mate. He wrote the book, The Myth of Normal. I highly recommend it for anybody listening to this. It's a phenomenal book. But in this book, Dr. Mate explains that we all have one core limiting belief, one rule that we decided about ourselves when we were children. We took in all of our experiences, all of our memories, all of our conversations with our parents, with ourselves, everything. We took it all in and it formulated down to one base belief about ourselves that every other belief, every other thought, every other feeling comes back to this main base belief about ourselves. And that if we can find that, if we can figure out what our belief is about ourselves, what that core belief is, then we can understand everything about how we are interacting with ourselves, others, and the world around us. And this is an incredibly powerful exercise to really be honest, looking at, if I look at all of my experiences, all of my memories, all of my interactions, if I really look at those and I look at how I interpreted them as a child, what was my main takeaway? What did all of these things say about me? And I remember when I read this book, my main takeaway, I really looked at everything that I had picked up throughout my life. And at the time that I read the book, I realized that the assumption that I had about myself, this belief, this primary belief that I had about myself and my place in the world, was that I am always wrong. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter if I'm the one being hurt. Somehow it means that I did something wrong. And that was such a revelation for me of realizing that not only is my inner child hurting and calling for me, but she's hurting and calling for me because she feels like she is the problem. And then when I looked at my life around me and I looked at how I was interacting with my family, how I was interacting with my job, how much of my self-worth I was putting into being productive or into doing things right, it made so much sense. Because the thing is, we as people, we as spiritual beings are always trying to find balance. We are always trying to come back into that state of homeostasis, right? This balance, this yin-yang of being in harmony. And so if we are holding on to this belief that we are wrong, the way that we find balance in that is slipping into perfectionism and trying to do every single thing right, because that's going to bring balance to the system. And it's important to note that balance doesn't mean health, right? Looking at that dichotomy that we have of, I believe I'm wrong, so I'm going to do everything I can to do everything perfectly, that's not healthy. It's balanced because we have two extremes, but it's not healthy. And that balance is where our inner child lives. Our inner child is the one who is calling us back into, something's wrong, we need to fix it. But because our inner child is a child, right? We're still in those primal instincts. We're still in that fight or flight mode. We're still in the experience of a trauma or whatever it is. We don't have, that part of ourselves doesn't have the function, the brain function to be able to logic our way through that. And so we just say, oh, I'm always wrong, then I'm going to do everything perfectly, because that's where our brain goes when we're younger. That's the natural state of affairs to come back into balance. And so when we're working with our inner child, we're looking to restore not only balance, but also well-being, also health in our psychology, in our energy, in our emotions. We're looking at, yes, maybe I'm striving for balance now, but is that balance actually healthy? If I look at this core belief that I have of, I'm not enough, I'm not worthy, I'm always wrong, whatever it is, can I look at this? Can I focus on this and work through it so that instead of trying to find balance with two extremes, I'm naturally in that state of harmony and that state of health, because I'm not holding on to this really heavy, really detrimental belief. And so when we start to do inner child work, this is where we start, right? We start looking at our triggers. We start asking that question of, what is that primary belief that I have about myself? What is that core understanding, that core assumption that I brought with me from childhood about who I am? And it usually is going to be an I am statement. And then once you have that, once you have this limiting belief, you have this core understanding, then we're going to do the work of, let's unravel that. Let's look at, how is that limiting belief impacting my life? How is it showing up in my actions, in my behavior, in my words? How is this limiting belief impacting my life? And we're going to look at, how did it impact me as a child? How was it keeping me small? How was it keeping me feeling unsafe? How was it keeping me from being the fullest expression of who I was? I remember when I first started doing inner child healing, I was really, really struggling with some pretty intense PTSD from some childhood experiences that I had. And one of the things, one of the ways that that core belief of I am wrong would show up in my life is I had really, really terrible social anxiety, believe it or not. I know that's funny talking to thousands of people on a podcast, but I had terrible social anxiety. I hated going out in public. If I had to go out where there were groups of people, I would get incredibly panicky. My chest would close up. I couldn't breathe properly. But because I was so tied to perfection and I was so tied to doing everything right, I would do it anyway. And I would cover it up and I would do my best to appear confident and to appear open, because that was how I was finding that disharmonious balance, right? And I remember when I first started inner child healing, I started at the library. And I remember this distinctly because it was such a profound moment where I had done the work to figure out that core limiting belief. I knew the ways that it was showing up in my life. I knew that my social anxiety was really just a trigger because my inner child did not feel safe, right? Going back to that question of what are the ways that we don't feel safe? And knowing that that's a representation of our inner child, I knew that my social anxiety was just a representation of not feeling safe around other people. And so what I would do is I would go into the library, and the library where I live has this really beautiful little foyer with this like gorgeous window. And I would stand in the middle of the foyer and I would close my eyes and I would hold out my hand. And I would imagine younger me, for me, it was three-year-old me coming and holding my hand. And I would actually close my hand standing there in the library as if I could feel her. And I would take her for a walk with me in the library. She would just come with me. She would be right by my side. And if she got scared, in my mind's eye, I would pick her up and I would hold her. And that was how we would get through the library. And I started doing that. I started in the library and then I went to the grocery store and then I went to on and on and on, right? Until eventually, I don't have social anxiety anymore, right? And it wasn't as simple, right, as just holding my inner child's hand when I went out in public. But that was an incredibly healing experience, because what it showed me was I could feel, as soon as I took my inner child's hand, as soon as I took her hand and I said, "It's okay, we're okay, we're just going to the library." As soon as I did that, I, grown up adult me, felt this wave of peace. Felt this wash of, no, you're right, we are okay. We're just at the library. Nothing's gonna happen, we're okay. And that ability to find peace inside of an incredibly stressful situation was such a gift. And it was such a profound experience because it really shows how simple healing our inner child is, right? If you think back to how you were when you were a child, we didn't have these really intense and layered anxieties that we do as adults, right? If you think back to when you were 5 or 4 or 6 or however old you are, right? We didn't have these intense anxieties. We didn't have these minutiae of brain functions and thoughts and feelings and all these things. We were simple creatures when we were kids, right? We just wanted chocolate, or we wanted a hug, or we wanted a nap, or we wanted to go play, or we wanted to get down, or we wanted to show somebody something. We were simple as children. And so inner child healing gets to be incredibly simple, because all we're looking for, all that inner child in us is looking for, is the ability to be safe, to feel safe, whatever that looks like for you. And so we start by looking at, again, where are the places in your life right now where you do not feel safe? And how does that tie back into your inner child? What is it that your inner child is calling out for in those moments? And what does he, she, they need in order to feel safe in those moments? Do they need to be picked up? Do they need you to talk to them? I was in a client session the other day, and it was a moment of being so absolutely stunned by the resilience of the people in this community. But I was in a client session, and this is a client who we've done inner child work from the beginning. And she started by, we would meditate our way through. We would go through a shamanic journey and we would meet her inner child, and her inner child would be in a cave. And it was always a really dark cave. She could barely see her inner child. Her inner child was off in a corner. She wouldn't want to come out. She was really scared. And we did a lot of daily, weekly work to slowly ease our way into being able to communicate and talk with her inner child. And by the end of our time working together, I was on a call with her and we were doing a Reiki session. And I was like, okay, what about your inner child? Is she here? Because we were working on her sacral chakra. And sacral chakra is kind of the realm of your inner child. And my client was like, yeah, I can see her. She's here. I was like, okay, let's see if she wants to do Reiki. And my client was like, okay, hang on. And turned away from the camera and actually started talking to her inner child and telling her inner child how to do Reiki. And here's what you're going to do. And do you want me to do Reiki for you? Or do you want to do Reiki for me? And actually engaging with her inner child. And it was such a beautiful thing because it was this client who went from being scared of interacting with her inner child, because that can be a scary experience, right? Not all of us had beautiful, happy childhoods. And even if we did, in those beautiful, happy childhoods, there are things that were scary. There are things that were hard. There are things that we interpreted as traumas that deserve recognition and deserve to be acknowledged, but doing that work can be scary. And so I watched this client go from being so afraid of acknowledging herself, of seeing herself, of witnessing that inner part of herself, to being able to just turn to her side and have a full conversation with her inner child, to knowing so deeply that her inner child was part of her life, that she could just talk to her, that she could guide her through it, that she could be present with her inner child and have that kind of relationship. And it was just such a beautiful example of those two different kinds of work that we do, where we do that healing work with our inner child and we continue that relationship. We continue to cultivate this space where we know that our inner child is safe, that our inner child can be seen, that they can come forward in the fullness of who they are, because by giving younger us permission to exist fully, permission to show up fully, what we're actually doing is giving adult us permission to show up fully, permission to exist in the totality of who they are. Because when we allow younger selves, when we allow our younger self to just be, to know that they're enough, that limiting belief that we held onto as an adult of I'm not enough, I'm not worthy, I'm not lovable, it crumbles. Because that limiting belief was rooted in our childhood. It's rooted in that subconscious programming that we picked up in our childhood years. And so if we can give younger us permission to just be, permission to be enough, permission to know that they are worthy, then we as adults immediately recognize that we are also worthy. We undo that cycle for ourselves. In a way, it's generational healing, but in ourselves. And that is the beauty of inner child healing. And so when we look at inner child healing, a lot of people ask, well, how do I know what age? You know, how is my inner child going to show up? And that's a fantastic question. And it really depends on what the goal of your inner child work is. Chances are, when we talk about the healing work that we do with an inner child archetype, there might be multiple. You're probably going to have energy that gets collected at specific ages in your childhood when extreme events occurred. Whether that was a capital T trauma where we experienced an abuse or a loss or something traumatic, or it's a lowercase t trauma where something was incredibly impactful and it shifted the way that we view ourselves, others, or the world. Those moments where our energy kind of gets stuck, the bottom drops out a little bit. And I think we can all think of one or two experiences at least like that. Chances are that there is a version of your inner child stuck at each one of those points. And so when we do the healing work, we're probably going to go back and meet that inner child at the age that needs healing the most. And this is important because this means that if you had, let's say that you had a really, really severe trauma at age 3, and then you had a less severe but still impactful trauma at age 5, it might be that the 5-year-old inner child comes forward to be healed first because they feel safer, they feel more ready to be healed, whereas the younger 3-year-old version of you is still too scared to come forward. And so it can be a process. It can be like dominoes falling over one at a time. If sometimes we have to heal an older inner child before we can get to the youngest inner child, and that's okay. But what you'll find is that once you work through those layers, once you start to peel them away and you meet each inner child where they are, that your inner child has almost like an amorphous age that they like to exist in. My inner child most often appears to me as 3-year-old me, but sometimes she's 7, sometimes she's 5, but she is always the same energy. She is always that same archetype of me, that pure spirit of me in a younger form. And so knowing that there's no set age that your inner child's going to show up at, there's no set do this, then this, then this that happens for inner child healing. It really is just this question of, can you invite your inner child to the table? Can you invite them to be part of your life? Can you give them permission to exist fully, to do the finger painting, to go get an easy bake oven, to wear a nightgown, to drink a bubbly drink and let the bubbles tickle your nose, right? Things like that that you forget about as an adult because you shove them down and you shove them down and you shove them down. But the problem is that when we put aside these things that we loved in childhood, when we put our inner child down and aside, when we kind of shove them into the closet a little bit, we're denying ourselves. When we are denying our inner child, when we are not allowing them to show up fully, right? Then we are denying adult us. We are denying ourselves. We are pushing ourselves away. And so the key to inner child healing is understanding that it is this process of welcoming them in, welcoming them in, welcoming them in, knowing that in doing so, we're welcoming ourselves. We're giving ourselves permission to exist. We're giving ourselves the place and the space to be safe, to be seen, to be witnessed that we never had as a child, right? And so this is where we can tie in this shamanic perspective when it comes to working with the inner child, is understanding that our inner child exists in what the shamanic world would call the middle world, right? It's this energetic reflection of our current physical reality. And our inner child is always with us. That energy is always with us. It is inside of us. It exists kind of encapsulated in our sacral chakra. And when we can engage with that, when we can tap into our sacral chakra with its element of water and its desire for fun and play and its sensuality, right? And by sensuality, I mean our ability to use our 5 senses to engage with the world around us, right? To touch, to hear, to see, to smell, to taste, right? Being a child is an incredible sensory experience because we are learning the world for the first time. And we start to take that for granted as adults. And so when we can tap into the sensual side of sacral chakra, of using our 5 senses to interact with the world, we are engaging with these aspects of ourselves that pull in our inner child, that call forward that energy. When we can stand in a library and take our inner child's hand and guide them through, when we can think about what's something I loved to do as a child that I haven't done in so long, then we can continue to pull that forward, to go do that and activate that inner child energy. And so whether you are engaging with your inner child as an actual image of you when you were younger, or you're engaging with them as an energetic archetype of this energy of fun and play, of being innocent, of having that joy of being alive, however you choose to interact with it, at the end of the day, inner child healing is really looking at how can you give yourself permission to show up fully, to be enough, to be seen, to do the things that are silly and fun and pointless, to engage with your imagination. And this is where things like shamanic journeys are so powerful. Because when we engage with the shamanic journey, not only are we engaging with the spirit world, not only are we engaging with non-ordinary reality, but we are also engaging with our imagination, with seeing beyond the physical reality, with daydreaming, with connecting with magic and joy and our guides and our power animals and all of these things that would have made younger us so excited. There is so much childlike play and nature to being alive. Again, that rapture of being alive, that ability to wake up and be amazed that you're taking a deep breath, that you can go hug a tree, that there's a beautiful butterfly, that the birds are singing a song, whatever it is, these little simple things, right? Going back to our inner child as a simple energy, these little things that we can come back to and connect to that light us up. Because at the end of the day, we feel safe to do so. We feel safe to experience life. We feel safe to experience joy. We feel safe to engage with our five senses. And so when we talk about it in this way, we start to pull back a little bit and see that we've created a roadmap here, a roadmap of healing our inner child, a roadmap for here's the steps that you take to heal your inner child, right? We start by looking at what are my triggers in my daily life? Where are the places that I feel scared or unsafe? Answering that question for yourself, how do you feel unsafe? Where do you feel scared? What are you triggered by? And then looking at how does that connect to this main belief that I have, this core limiting belief, I'm not worthy, I'm not enough, I'm not safe. What is it? What do those tie back to? And then when we have this core belief, looking at how is it impacting the rest of your life? How is it showing up for you? At what age did this belief really take root? At what age did you start seeing proof of this belief played out in your life because of how your brain works, right? At what age did this really show up for you? And then can you invite that age of you in and think about it, that age, what did I love to do? What did I enjoy? What brought me happiness as a child? What do I wish I could have done? What do I wish my parents had taught me? What do I wish my teacher had said to me instead of telling me my art was bad? What do I wish had happened? And how can I give myself that now? How can I engage with that energy of my inner child and bring it forward, really cultivate it, help it to become vibrant again? And then looking at, once we've done this work, how do I continue to engage with that essence of fun and play, with those elements of myself that I've lost as I've stepped into adulthood? How can I continue to cultivate this connection with my younger self, to cultivate this feeling of being safe and seen and welcomed in the fullness of who I am? And that's really how this inner child healing process goes. That's really the flow that we go through again and again and again. And this is the beautiful thing about inner child healing is it is never stagnant. It is never stagnant to heal our inner child. We are constantly learning and shifting and growing because every time we make a decision, every time we engage with a new person, every time we experience something new in life, our inner child is there experiencing it with us in that shamanic perspective. Our inner child is part of who we are. And so we are blessed with this continual cycle of birth and renewal and death and releasing and birth and renewal and death and releasing of looking at who we are, this framework that we've created for ourselves and what's ready to be let go of, what's ready to shift, what new perspectives can we bring in? What new energy can we bring in? And how in the midst of this cycle and in the midst of this change, how can we allow ourselves to feel safe and seen and whole in that? Going back to this idea that it can be incredibly simple to do this work. It can be incredibly simple to just invite your inner child to sit with you at the dinner table. If you didn't have family dinners as a kid, and that's something that you wish you had, invite your inner child to the table. If you haven't gotten messy in a long time, and there's that inner part of you that's screaming to make a mess, go finger paint, go play paintball, go get in the mud, go do something messy. Right? Thinking about what is your inner child calling for right now? You know, when I ask that question, we all have this inherent understanding and this inherent knowing of what our inner child needs in each moment. We just have to give ourselves the permission to be able to acknowledge that inner knowing, to be able to then go and do it, to allow our inner child to step forward in the fullness of who they are, knowing that when we do that, when we allow our inner child to step forward, that we are allowing ourselves to step forward, that we are allowing the totality of who we are, every part of ourselves, to come to the table, to step forward, to be enough, and to be acknowledged. I was telling a friend of mine that I really truly believe that all of healing comes down to the fact that we are just constantly looking for someone to give us permission to be who, where, and how we are. And true healing happens when we realize that we are the only ones who can give ourselves that permission. We are the only ones who can allow ourselves to be enough. And we can start with our inner child. We can start with allowing our inner child to come to the table, to play, to cry, to yell, to talk, to create, however they need to, and allow that to be enough. Allow that to be worthy. Allow that to be seen and to be safe. Because that is the true work of inner child healing. So as we round out this conversation, I do want to tie this back to our absolutely amazing shamanic retreat that we are offering this summer from June 26th to the 30th. We will have an entire day dedicated to inner child healing during this retreat. So you can join us in Bozeman, Montana, again from June 26th to the 30th for a shamanic Reiki retreat. We're going to be going into the amazing nature of Bozeman. If you've never been to Bozeman, it's absolutely stunning. We'll be taking trips to the mountains, to the reservoirs, to the hot springs, to connect with the nature of things, to the magic of nature and not ordinary reality. We'll be engaging with Reiki circles and shamanic ceremonies and elemental healing and connecting you with your power animal and your spirit guide. But we'll also have an entire day dedicated to meeting your inner child and learning tangible techniques to work with her, him, them. We will participate in ceremonies to help you really connect with them, to help you understand what they need, to give you the tools to be able to engage with them and connect with them in a really profound, tangible way. We'll also have some amazing experiences like a trance breathwork experience and learning how to cut and work with energetic cords, experiencing native drumming, working with your luminous energy field, opening up your eighth energy field, practicing chakra spinning, and so much more. This retreat is really exciting. I've never seen a retreat done the way that we're doing this because it's almost a choose your own adventure experience where you're going to join us every day. We're going to meet at this beautiful yoga workshop and we're going to have workshops and we're going to have shamanic ceremonies and we're going to have Reiki circles. And we're going to have these beautiful spiritual experiences. And then between them, we'll have a workshop in the morning and a workshop in the evening. And between them, you get to choose what you do. Do you engage with one of our optional shamanic ceremonies? Do you go out into nature for a group outing? Do you just go back to your Airbnb and rest and integrate all of the energy that you receive from the workshop? What do you want to do? What's going to bring you the most joy, the most rest, the most rejuvenation, the most connection? You go do that. And then we come back together in the evenings and we create that sense of community and connection. And so this is an incredible experience. Both Chantel and myself, and of course, our wonderful Christine Renee, will be with us for this Soul Rising shamanic retreat in June. I would love to see you there. It is only $888 for this retreat, this 5-day experience. And I would love to see you there. Early bird pricing ends at the end of April. So if you are excited about this, please, please, please grab your seat. I would love to work with you. I know Chantel and Christine would as well. There is so much that we have to offer at this retreat. This is the first retreat that we have done for Reiki Cafe since COVID, believe it or not, since 2020. So please click the link in the show notes if you want to learn more. And I would love to see you there. If you have questions about the retreat, just let me know. There is a ton of information on the webpage, and there's also a link where you can book a call and learn more about this amazing experience. I would love to see you there. But for now, thank you so much for tuning in today. I would love to hear your top takeaway. I would love to hear your action step for how you are going to start working with your inner child today and what you're going to bring to the table to allow yourself to show up fully, to allow yourself to step into the world knowing that you are enough, knowing that you are worthy, knowing that you are safe, and knowing that you have all of the tools and the capabilities that you need to be able to work with your inner child in a really beautiful way. So leave all of those aha moments and takeaways and questions over in the Reiki Cafe community. You can also message me on Facebook or send me an email at isabel@reikicafeuniversity.com. If you're interested in booking a session and you'd like to work one-on-one with me and have some amazing experiences, like my client that I told you about earlier on this call, feel free to send me a message. I would love to get you in. I would love to work with you and support you. And I hope that this was exactly what you needed to start off your week. Thank you for tuning in, for showing up, for doing the work, for sharing this space for me. It has been an honor and a privilege, and I'll see you guys next time.
Reiki Cafe Radio is sponsored by Reiki Cafe University, where your Reiki dreams become reality. Join us on Instagram or Facebook at Reiki Cafe University, watch our videos on YouTube, or visit the website to learn more about our colleges of Reiki, chakras, and business.
It's our aim to help you on your path to wellness, guiding you into confidence as you transmute your inner critic and say yes to you. We're here to help you bring your Reiki dreams into reality, and your path to abundance, health, and healing unfolds from here.
And love and light, Christine Renee.
And Izzy Wells.